Here to bring us a message of encouragement and hope is Reverend Charles S. Mueller, pastor of Trinity Evangelical Lutheran Church in Roselle, Illinois. This is not Reverend Mueller's first introduction to our DuPage County Christmas Prayer Breakfast. Although I wasn't here at the time, I understand he was speaker several years ago. He must be good, or we've run out of speakers and he's being recycled again. Prior to serving his current church in Roselle, he pastored churches in Jacksonville Beach, Florida, and Silver Spring, Maryland. Reverend Mueller has been elected to several Lutheran district and synod offices and served as president of the Southeastern District for 8 years. He is a prolific author, essayist, and lecturer. Among his published books are The Christian Prepares for Christmas, appropriate, and Thank God I'm a Teenager. He's a little older than that, though. It's an old book. Reverend Mueller was educated at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis and received honorary doctorates from Concord College in New York and St. John's College in Kansas. Reverend Mueller and his wife Audrey have 4 children and 6 grandchildren. My wife Ann and I are not far behind you. We have 5 grandchildren and 1 in the hopper. So I'm going to catch you. Let's all give Reverend Charles Mueller a warm DuPage County welcome.
Thank you very much. The reason that I get a second whack at this is because the committee understands mercy and grace. And they said, this time, please do it right. So I want to explain why Representative Hyde left. Now, he came to me and graciously excused himself. He has to catch a plane. And he did say he thought he might be missing something by this. And I said, don't worry about it. You have an abundance of unused advice and insight and suggestions that I've already made to you. Just dip in anywhere and work it from there. It's a remarkable thing to come to these things, these gatherings for 8 or 9 or 10 years and to see so many people in government. I have a brother who's a state representative in Missouri. And I asked him a number of times, why is that your goal in life? And he took me aside in a quiet way and he said, now you have your ministry and this is my ministry. I know I could be many other things just like you could be many other things. I have chosen to do this. And so I come out of great respect for you and for all the others who stood up. I'm a citizen and a resident in Bloomingdale. I spend a great deal of my time in Roselle and most of my hours in DuPage County, and I have a great appreciation. So this is my moment to pass on to you all kinds of pearls. The other day I heard a story of Will Rogers, though, that helps me a little bit. At the beginning of World War I, the Germans were devastating the seas with their U-boats, and no one could do much about it. And they had tried everything they could. And one day someone came to Will Rogers and said to him, well, what would you do about it? Well, he said, I know how to handle that problem. And he said, well, what would you do? He said, boil the North Atlantic. And they said, you don't mean boil the North Atlantic. He said, that's right. He said, if you get that hot enough, I believe those little U-boats are just going to kind of work their way to the top. And when they get on the surface, we just grab them off, one right after the other. And they said, you can't be serious. How would you boil the North Atlantic? Well, he said, you asked me to solve the problem, not work out the details. So my word to you, Mr. Kniffer, is boil the North Atlantic. I don't have a lot to say to individuals in government in terms of the specifics of their job. I'm just so thankful you're there. And I'm so moved by your willingness to reach out and try, because I don't see a lot of strokes being given to you in public. I don't see a lot of letters that are come in that are written to the editors that talk about the wonder of what you are. We seem to find those flaws in the human character, and we love to dote on them, and I understand that. I understand that to be a pastor or to be a businessman or a businesswoman or a government official means you have to let your life shine and be out there. But somewhere, some way, you have to have done something right. And behind it all, I know that there is a person, a real living person, a human being that isn't an official, that isn't a representative, that isn't a great decision maker. It's just a man or just a woman, just an individual whom the Lord loves. And if this season isn't a time of individuals, I don't know what the season would be. Last Saturday night, we had great fun at our church. We have Saturday evening services too. And we simply announced that we're going to have a Christmas program where everybody can come and be whatever they want to be. We will announce it. We'll put the program together. No stress. Bring your own robe. Put on your own garments. Do whatever you want to do. And when the time comes, you just come up and be what that is. We ended up with about a dozen Marys. We had a half a dozen Josephs. We had endless quantities of wise men. Wouldn't you know that would be the largest group involved there? We had stars and we had angels. We had one Herod only. We had one volunteer innkeeper. We went through the whole story and individuals came up. Now, you would think that if you do something like that, that would be pure chaos. It really wasn't. When those kids and their parents came up, they all seemed to fit into the person that was there. And so for a few moments, I'd like to go over the Christmas story to make sure that you understand those are real people that a real Christ came to touch. But first he touched them as real people. The kids sat so quiet. They were so involved that they were the individual. What was involved? Well, we started out with a star. You know, there's got to be a star. And I got to thinking about stars and reading about stars and learning about stars. You know how many stars there are? There are incredible numbers of stars. There are, to our knowledge, over 200 billion, billion stars. The stars are all over the place. If every person in the world were to start counting stars, each person would have to count 50 million before we would have them covered. That's how many stars there are. And it reaches. It's out there. It's endless. It's all over. It's out there in light. That's what stars are. If you went at the speed of light, it would take you about a second and a half to get to the moon. It'd take you about 8 minutes to get to the sun. It would take you 33,000 years to get to the middle of the Milky Way. And there's another half on the other side and eons and other things on beyond that. It's all out there. And somehow, a star, that's what you read about, a star. How in the world did they find that star? Unless it was just so conspicuous you couldn't miss it. Is it possible that there was only one Christmas star? And you look for it, and they write articles about the Star of Bethlehem. Or is it perhaps that our God, the generous God of the 200 billion, billion plus stars, has maybe put a lot of stars out there? A star, a father's star, a mother's star, oh, a pastor's star, oh, a son or daughter's star. Is it possible that there's some star out there, and the reason the wise men followed it was because it was so bright, you just couldn't miss it? I do talk to teenagers, and I did write a book, Thank God I'm a Teenager. I'm not a teenager, I'm almost 60. But I talk to tens of thousands of kids every year. And I just talk to them, and I talk to them about what it means to be a teenager. That's what I talk to them about. Things that you should be telling your sons and daughters, not me. Kids write me and say, why can't my dad say I love you? It just tears my heart. And you think, well, those pagan fathers, oh no, they're Lutheran. Baptist, Methodist, Disciples of Christ, Assembly of God, Roman Catholic. That's the fathers. They say, why can't my parents ever say, you did a good job? Man alive, you moms and dads, that's what you are. You, when you're going to your office at 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, you're something else. But I want to tell you, you're a mom or a dad, a husband or a wife. Listen to that report that came through. What happens to marriages? Marriages collapse when you can't talk to each other. And when you can't settle an argument, my goodness sakes alive, isn't there a star that shines down on that, that takes you there? There's the animals that were there. I really loved that one kid showed up dressed like a Dalmatian. Well, how do you know there wasn't a Dalmatian there? There is now. Something marvelous about animals. We know that if you pet an animal, you calm down. You come down, and when they take animals into homes for the aged, and they just pet them, everything goes down in their life. It calms down. Their blood pressure goes down, and everything about them kind of settles in. Who's the one who said, "Let there be," and there was? It's that God. It's like the story of creation. Remember, the temptation was all over. Adam and Eve were hiding. They made themselves clothes of leaves. Have you ever thought about being dressed in leaves? Just think about it a while. Itchy, scratchy. You never know what's going on. And then when the whole thing is all over and God has come looking for Adam and Eve, he ends up by saying, and he clothed them with furs. Ah, mink. Huh? That's the kind of God we have. The kind of God who gives the 200 billion, billion stars and all the other things and homes and families and says it's not good for man to be alone. Talks that way to you. And then there was Zechariah and Elizabeth. I love old folks because that's what I'm getting closer to be. It says they were well stricken with age. I love that. And you talk about a hit in the head to come home and discover you're pregnant at 70. That really had to be a jolt. And to show you that Scripture is really authentic, it says she hid for 5 months. I believe she would. I believe she would. That's why the angel came to Zechariah and said, "Fear not." Oh. I have a grandson who lives with us. And I had a son. And I used to love to play ball with my son. When he was that way and I was in my 30s and I could throw the ball and he would throw. And these kids, they never can throw anything. Billy Williams, I wish you would get these kids all gathered together and teach them how to throw. Because they wind out and it can go any direction. Now, when I was 30, I would say, "Oh, come on now, settle down," and run over and pick up the ball. I'm 60 almost, and the ball always goes under a bush. And I come up angry at my little grandson, saying, "Well, what's the matter with you? Why can't you throw the ball?" There's nothing wrong with my grandson, but I am 60. And a lot of things happen at 60. We know things happen at 60. If you're around 60, you're going through a faith crisis. You're wondering about what's the world going on. I deal with a lot of older people in my parish. It's amazing America we have here. In the 1900s, America was a population pyramid, looked like a pyramid. In the 1950s, it looked like a barrel. Now it's starting to look like a balloon. There's a lot of us. There's a lot of struggles and cares and concern. And we need a Zechariah and Elizabeth who first of all heard the angel say, "Don't be afraid," and then went ahead and did what they had to do and followed through and brought us all John the Baptist. Then there was Mary and Joseph. Joseph, that interesting man, intriguing man. We don't know much about him. He's just kind of a shadow figure. He, of good spirit, when the young lady came to him and said, "Joseph, I'm pregnant." Why, he could have done a lot of things. He could have stormed around and stomped. He could have yelled and shouted. He could have done many things. But he chose, for the moment at least, to say, "Mary, you and I both know that's not my child. But I'll let it happen that way. I'll put you aside. And if at a later time they say, 'Oh, I see, Mary had a baby in that little town,' I will not say it is not mine, but I cannot claim it, for it is not mine." And he was right. It's all of ours. And then the angel came and again said, "That angel, look out for that angel. Don't be afraid." If you ever meet some guy who says, "Don't be afraid," listen to him, because he's about ready to say something to you. And he could say some frightening kinds of things. "Don't be afraid. Go right ahead." And so he did. You talk about natural childbirth. There he was in the manger. And immediately came another message. "Don't be afraid. Take that baby to Bethlehem." Dr. Bakke, talking about this, says over half of all the children born this year are Asian born. And the place where most political refugees are is in Africa. And our Lord Jesus Christ, by the time he was 3, understood both those things. For an Asian-born Jesus became a political refugee in Africa. And then the angel said, "Don't be afraid." And he came back home. And you hear one more time about Joseph. You hear about him at the time when Jesus was in the temple. And the one thing all kids know is authentic stuff out of the Bible. When Mary said, "Your father and I." Anytime dad says, "Your mother and I," kids know it's all over. The battle's done. It's finished. Isn't very often that happens. Then one more time. It says, "Isn't that Joseph's son?" To call him Joseph's son, they must have known Joseph. And then there was the wise men, strange men who came from the other place. But you know, there were two sets of wise men. One set of wise men had all the answers, and one had all the questions. And so when they came to Herod the king and said, where is this to happen? And you heard it read a minute ago. The wise men with all the answers said, oh, I know the answer to that. It says so and so and such and such and such and such. Then they all went home, settled down for the evening, and watched the Chicago Bears. That's what they did. They just settled into their life. The other wise men went. You're going to see a lot of signs around that says, keep the Christ in Christmas. Folks, couldn't possibly get the Christ out of Christmas. Jesus Christ is here and among us. He is a very real and vital part. When the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, he dwelt. It's not whether you want to keep the Christ in Christmas or you want to keep the Christ out of Christmas. You don't have any control over that. Whether you believe that Jesus Christ is your Lord and King or don't believe Jesus Christ is your Lord and King, isn't making any difference about his being the Lord and King. It's a difference whether you claim him as Lord and King. But you know, one thing you do have a lot of control over is the mess. Get the mess out of Christmas. That's what we need to do. Get the mess out of it. Not in a general way. Policy in DuPage County will lead you to get the mess out of Christmas. Well, you can't do that. That's like boiling the North Atlantic. But what about you? What about your life? Great Christmas hymn. Our dearest Jesus, holy child, make thee a bed soft, undefiled within my heart, that it may be a quiet chamber kept for thee. One of the great Christmas carols, have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. You are the potter. I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will while I am waiting, patient, and still. That's something you can handle. And the Holy Spirit calls upon your heart to do just that. It's not just a celebration. It's not just a holiday. For a lot of us, it's a holy day. When we remember the stars and the scary angels and the faithful old folks and the young couple and the wise men and women who heard and who followed. May it please the Lord that this Christmas be so full of Christ that the mess is all gone. Thank you.